I'm gonna call my crew, you gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave, throw the keys to little C's. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next one, so we can steam on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo?
True.
Forget the telly, we just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke L's while you do me.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Wow.
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby,
how you living, Biggie Smalls?
In mansion and Benz is giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, get a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams.
What?
Chopping O's, smoking line optimals. Money, floors, and clothes, all a brother knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure.
What?
So grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the man, girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Tell your friends to get with my friends.
Your friend.
We could be friends. Shit, we could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright? Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
Good morning. Thursday, March 9th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. We're broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish and Musqueam territory here on UBC's campus. I'm your host, Issa Arian. For the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. Now, if you didn't know that March 9th, it should be recognized as a national holiday. It's the day Biggie Smalls passed away. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls. Probably one of the greatest rappers ever. We have a full schedule today. Considering yesterday was International Women's Day, and although it's tomorrow from yesterday, it needs to be acknowledged. And so we have a special guest who will be calling in with us later. This week is Radio Week, a fun drive. It starts on March 9th today and goes into the 17th. We really hope to reach out and to provide more in-depth coverage of current affairs here in the Lower Mainland. And your support will help us provide new training sessions so that we can really get a nice collective of voices here at CITR. So if you'd like to go on CITR.ca and donate, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Now, always, we'd like to start off with a little bit of the weather forecast for the next 5 days. We're returning to typical spring Vancouver weather, just rain and not freezing, but not warm. So today, it'll be a high 5 with rain. Tomorrow actually won't rain. There's only a 10% precipitation chance. So if there's anything you want to do outside, go take care of that tomorrow. Saturday, Sunday, Monday will be raining. And I'm just glad on Monday it won't be raining. It won't be too cold because we're starting the Warrior Academy. So if you are a kid who listens to the radio in the morning from 8 to 14, get your parents to sign you up. And maybe you'll have a better time on your spring break. But here on Off the Beaten Path, what I'd like to do is just to take you a little bit down my thoughts. Talk a little bit about some news, some local news, some politics, some pop culture. Try to get some funny stuff. You know, occasionally I like to have some interviews. You know, we bring on some comedians, some artists, some industry leaders, and just some really, really smart people. Occasionally, sometimes I'll just have my friends in here or call in because I have smart ones and I feel like their voices need to be heard as well. There's been a lot of stuff going on, lots of news here in Vancouver. and the taxi cab services might just be getting a little better. And I will tell you about that when we return. Be excited.
Try this donut.
Ooh, okay. It's so stale.
That's because it's 10 years old! The Dunkin' Donuts radio show is celebrating a decade on the air. We're having a big party to celebrate.
With a show at the Toast, Saturday, March 11th, featuring Two Bad Catholics, Supermoon, Maneater, and Gal Grayson.
There will also be homemade donuts and limited edition donut t-shirts. All funds raised go to CITR's Fund Drive.
See you there.
Hey, do you want some coffee to wash it down? It's from 2006.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
So if you are as unimpressed with the Vancouver taxi system as I am, any news about an improvement upon that would be looked at as a good idea. So I guess over the past week and over the past some time, Vancouver has been really thinking about how can they best improve their taxi cab services, and they have come up with the solution. The BC Liberals Party has come up to be the champion of this solution, and that is to bring Uber and Lyft here. That it seems like the only logical solution, because on a Friday or Saturday night, when you would like a cab the most, they are never, ever, ever around. And one thing I don't like about taxi cabs is I feel like the drivers are not accountable. And that maybe is just for me, because I have had some interesting experiences with some taxi cab drivers here in the city. But what the BC Liberals and the other members of our government here in BC is they have partnered with BC Insurance, ICBC, and really been trying to create a comprehensive insurance plan that can both insure Uber and Lyft and put together a package that will help the taxi cab drivers, survive as we go through this transition. Now, the BC Liberals say that starting in March 6th, I mean, if they get voted in March 9th, that they will have Lyft and Uber here by Christmas. Now, one, I think that that's a long time. That's a promise. It's a promise you almost don't have to keep, because, you know, people here in BC are so used to not having Uber or Lyft, or not even just not having it, but not even really understanding how much better it is as a system. The drivers get graded. You can see which drivers are weird. I guess when they lose their top star status, then they're no longer allowed to be Uber drivers. And it just, you can get a ride from anywhere. You don't have to go to a specific street. I think that the system is just better all around, and I really don't know why we don't have it yet. But the BC Liberals promised to bring it. Clearly, it's an issue between the cab drivers, particularly because of the way that it's their insurance and just the taxi cab in general set up, is that they don't have really the freedom to be insured when they're not driving. They have to pay a flat fee, which is why they get so upset when these other systems come in. But I would think that in a society that really predicates itself on free markets and, you know, these types of economic understandings that Uber and Lyft would just be natural progression. Like, the taxi cab drivers just must get better. And the services just must, you know, continue to improve. Or there will be an improvement, such as Lyft or Uber. When one thing that BC residents might not be satisfied with is that the government plans on using a little over $3 million to help taxi cabs improve their app system. Now, if you ever use their app, it's trash. I feel like that someone could have come up with a better app system, you know, in their garage. I feel like there's a 16-year-old somewhere in BC right now who's sitting at a computer at, what time is it? At 7:10 in the morning, 7:13. There's like four different clocks in here. So, you know, you can never actually tell what time it is. But there's somebody who's got to be able to make a better app than the app currently that we have. And it doesn't make sense that there's so many different apps for all the different cab companies. I would just like Uber and Lyft here, please. It does my life a lot. It makes it a lot easier. Not all politicians are really happy about it, though. What Councillor Jeff Meggs says that he thinks that what we're doing is actually lowering the standards for a foreign competitor to come in and take a piece of the market. But, you know, and I don't really agree with that, because what I think that Uber and Lyft is, one, it's not as if Uber and Lyft is going to import foreign drivers. So there's currently people who don't do any. I mean, there's lots of people here in Vancouver who I feel like could use a little bit of extra money and would like the opportunity to not have to sign up or go through the precautions to become a taxi cab driver and, you know, just have their car sitting in their driveway. And I just think that's a poor excuse, considering the fact that Uber and Lyft is everywhere. It's in like 200 countries, and it's not in BC. I'm not sure about the rest of Canada, but it just doesn't make any sense. Moving on to what I think is more important news. I think it's more important, but people would think that it was not as important as Uber and Lyft. Is the Greater Vancouver Jewish Community Center had to be evacuated for a bomb threat. Now, I think that this is, not only is it starting to get ridiculous, but it has been a ridiculous, as we've had bomb threats all across North America to Jewish centers all over Canada and the United States, and I'm sure in Europe. I probably should look that up. But over the past month or so, these really anti-Semitic feelings have been bubbling up into defamed cemeteries. I saw a story last week where it was like in 24 hours, this Muslim community center had raised over $150,000 to donate to help resurface this Jewish cemetery that had been destroyed. You know, these types of things can't happen. Like, even as we, you know, as the United States, you know, and our friends down south continue to be as divided as we see in this political framework, what I think that has to happen is that we can't let this spread to Canada. Listen, I evacuated the United States to come to Canada to escape the hate and to escape this kind of feelings, because every time I had visited here in BC, I never felt that. Even though I know that, I'm aware that racism and anti-Semitic feelings and sexism is everywhere. I mean, we have International Women's Day yesterday, where we're speaking about the rights and the feelings and the hopes and dreams and what we want the future to look like for women all over the world in every single country. And so I know that you can't escape. It's inescapable. But what we really need to do is nip it in the bud. Like, we have to end that, especially here where it's a very inclusive place, and we can't say we can't let that continue to spread. So we need to start taking these things more serious. I feel that sometimes here in BC, particularly in the Lower Mainland, particularly in Vancouver, we can feel like we're in this bubble sometimes where, you know, we hear about all these things that are going on elsewhere in the world, and we hear about this sexism and racism and anti-Semitism and, you know, transphobia and all of these things elsewhere. We hear about how all of these things are happening elsewhere, violence. But we really need to understand that these things are all happening here in Vancouver. And you need, really need to open up your ears and open up your eyes so that you can help protect the people around you and the people in your community. I went to a UN Sustainable Development Goals training on Monday, and this is something that even I have to do. You know, even I have to, even me, being a person who believes themselves to be progressive and open and being able to see these injustices, I sat and watched and listened to a panel for 3 hours, and it took me 3 hours and a question from a woman sitting a few rows in front of me to realize that the panel was all men. It never crossed my mind. It was four men, and they brought a woman on to speak at the end to answer questions, which for me really opened up my eyes to see about the things that I actually don't see. So someone who believes in equality for women and also that women provide voices that are smart, and not, if not smarter and open, if not more open around some of these topics than men are, than men have. And so we all have to remember that it's not just up to us to point fingers and say, oh, they can be doing it better over there. Or I think that that place really needs to work on, you know, that specific social issue, when we all can look inside ourselves individually and understand that, hey, we're not seeing everything. We're not catching everything, even if you're the most progressive or you're not progressive at all. You know, really open up your eyes and see and think about the lack of opportunities and the lack of knowledge that you have and how you can better yourself and get a little better with that. Now, to move on to something a little more light, the BC feds have renewed their, they basically have renewed their oyster warning, which I've got to say is a little bit disappointing. Not because I think, for many reasons. One, I like oysters. Like, I like going to Chewy's and getting buckshuck oysters. And I'm not really sure about if I'm going to be able to do that for a long time. And now I understand why that, you know, we just go from social justice to talking about oysters and food. And, you know, that might not add up to you. But I think that food is a really great way to share spaces with people who you might not have shared with before. And what is causing these illnesses of these oysters? Like, I think that that's something that we need to know. Like, as we talk about climate change was one of the goals on this UN Sustainable Development Goals panel. Like, climate change is a really foundational piece of that. And as we talk about climate change, we talk about the human factors and how the human affects the environment. Yesterday, I went to a bog, and the Camelston Bog, right in the Pacific Spirit Park, and was talking about how the ecosystem of the bog supported all of these animals historically. Now, for tens of thousands of years, there's berries that grew there, and fish, and frogs, and woodpeckers, and owls, and all types of small beavers, and things that used to grow really, really well in this environment. And just in less than 100 years, we have reduced the size of the bog to like a baseball diamond. And where it used to be, this is like 45 acres or something. Now, that's crazy. Now, if you think about like how has the human, you know, how do our actions really affect our environment. It's bigger than just neuroviruses for oysters and us poison the earth. Like the oysters are not only things that we eat, but things that the birds eat, and things that, and you have to understand all the interconnectedness of this. So, like talking about with people, we need also need to be aware of our effect of with the environment. So, the things that you're not open to, the things that you're not seeing, the trash that you use, and the amount of trash that you use, and the packaging, where your clothes come from. All of these things really need to be, thought about, as we move forward, because without it, we won't be here very long.
All they must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports! Sports!
Sports!
Sports!
Sports!
Sports! Sports!
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends. Members get discounts on Main Street at
Hot Art Wet City, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, East Vanity Parlor, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Dandelion Records and Emporium, The Rag Machine, Neptune Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Book Warehouse, On the French Hair Design, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, True Value Vintage and I Found Gallery, and the Biltmore Cabaret.
What would we do without our friends?
Thank you.
To learn about global health and international development while providing students with opportunities for practical experience working within disadvantaged communities both locally and internationally. They also collaborate with other clubs to organize global health-related symposiums and competitions. Executive positions are available. Contact them at ubc.gosa@gmail.com.
Yep.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here at 101.9 CITR. If you'd like to call in and make a donation to the fund drive, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Or if you'd like to call in and, you know, hang out with me this morning while you are brushing your teeth, getting ready, wanting to find out some interesting information, we can do that. So, like I said, we'll be having a guest on, and I have Stephanie on air. Stephanie?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, so yesterday was International Women's Day. Let's just jump right in it. So yesterday was International Women's Day, and I guess this has been culminating since the National March on January 22nd, and you were in D.C., is that correct?
Yes, I was.
All right, can you
I attended the march.
Can you tell me what that was like?
Sure, of course. It was a pretty incredible experience. It was very inspiring. I don't want to say surprisingly peaceful, but it was very peaceful, very inclusive. I mean, I was astounded and amazed about how many people came out, and just the response and participation nationwide and then worldwide was incredible. I don't know, I can honestly say I was really proud to be part of such an important moment in time. And it was just fascinating to see so many people uniting under one movement, but yet representing so many different causes. I mean, there was really signs for, you know, just about every women's right, civil rights, human rights issue that you can think of. And yet everybody was marching in one place. So I think it was pretty special.
And so, like, you know, I mean, that was, wow, you know, it's really hard to believe that that was, you know, 2 months ago almost, you know. And so, like, what are your feelings to, you know, since then? Like, do you feel that, you know, like, as a collective, like, as a nation, you know, that... or as an international, as the global, we're like moving forward, and you know, some of the issues talked about, you know, we're moving, we're actually doing actionable items towards moving forward towards them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm actually really impressed how the momentum has still continued, and I think the organizers of the movement did a really good job of having a lot of follow up, having action steps, and then, you know, following up with the you know, yesterday's kind of events, you know, putting out things, you know, to strike or wear red, or whatever the things are. I think people feel like they want to do something. They want to feel like they're putting their hands on something. And, you know, they're organizing in a way that's allowing it to continue this momentum. So I think that's good. And I think that, you know, I believe that progress and change is only going to occur if people stand up and make their voices heard. And, you know, organizing these type of events and platforms to be able to do that is just really keeping the momentum going. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think that I see the momentum, you know, just as the conversations that I have, you know, with people here in the radio. One of the conversations that I have with people outside of the radio is, sorry, is how social media has really changed activism, how it's brought, you know, people together who might may not have ever, you know, realized that they have the same, you know, the same issues. But a criticism is that, like, we see people, you know, it really gives the people the opportunity to sit on the sideline and, you know, and like, you know, maybe take a picture, but not really do any actionable items. Is that something that you see or you're ever concerned with, you know, as you, you know, work in your day to day?
I think, you know, it gets really easy to just hit like, and, you know, you just really just, you know, follow a page or something like that, that like doesn't actually result in much action. But at the same time, I feel like social media has been a catalyst for a lot of things lately that have actually had like a tangible result. Like, you look back to like the, ALS ice bucket challenge. I don't know if that, you know, that was something here in the States that picked up a lot of momentum. And although, you know, some criticize it, and at the end of the day, it raised a ton of money for an amazing cause. And there's been different things like that, that I think without social media, it wouldn't have occurred or wouldn't have been possible. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of both, but I mean, you know, if no one had gone out to march on the 22nd, then I would have agreed with you. But yeah, the fact that millions of people came out just showed that it was the reason why people were able to organize and go out. And I feel like, you know, in my day-to-day work, I do work with civil rights, you know, issues. And everything I hear from people is, I want to get involved. I want to do something. I don't want to just donate money. I want to actually do something. So I think that sentiment's changing.
Yeah, and so I'm from Washington, D.C., you know, but I live here in Canada. And, you know, as we bring it back to the march on the 22nd, one of the things that I saw, I follow, like, lots of activists on Twitter, particularly female activists, because I think that they do most of the work. And one of the issues, particularly indigenous women issues, is that they feel like they're not being heard, and, you know, and trans women, particularly of color, not being heard. Like, what do you think it'll take to get women who are on board with women's rights to really care about those issues that maybe might not affect them as directly?
I think, well, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, and yeah, oh, yeah, 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 I agree. Sorry about that.
No, of course. But I'm somewhat of a unique experience in the fact that I'm a Hispanic woman born in the U.S. with a very white-sounding name and a very white appearance. And I was raised in a very Latin American home. I always felt very connected to my culture. And I've thus, you know, always stood for women's rights just as much as I stand for immigrant and minority rights. But that being said, I'm typically seen as a white woman. And I've always been treated as such. And I feel like, you know, I can't say that I've experienced the discrimination or struggles of those around me. But I see it every day. And I have the empathy. And so, you know, I feel like I've used my voice, and if you know, like the criticism that people think that, you know, white women haven't struggled as much, which is, you know, it's true. And but the truth of the matter is we're all going towards the same goal, is equality. So if, you know, some have to go further, then those of us that are stronger, or those of us that can and have the voice, I don't want to say stronger, that's the wrong word. Those that have the ability to voice for those that don't have a voice, that are marginalized, that are vulnerable, they should. And I think when people who have that ability speak up, and when people who are not the same speak up for others, I think that has a greater impact. And I think what I saw at the march was I saw women of different colors and different genders. Men, tons of men, which really surprised me, but was amazing. You know, I think that gives these type of movements and these type of social justice like fights more power. When you see that, you know, we can unite even though we're all different for the same causes.
You know, I was going to ask you another question, but I feel like you ended that. No, perfect. you added that perfectly. You know, I really thank you for being on the radio and really sharing your voice. And you know, I don't know you. You know, so we so like I found out something new, and it's really it's like refreshing to see people really acknowledge, you know, that the difference, you know, that like we are all different, but we're all the same. And some of us are, you know, are able to really carry the banner forward. And, you know, we have a responsibility to do that. And it's really cool to see that you feel that as well. And as you do your work in activism and civil rights, and, you know, as more people see you, then, you know, hopefully we can continue the momentum.
That is definitely my hope as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate having you on air.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. If you'd like to call in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We will be back talking a little bit about the United States politics and why do we hate poor people so much.
Join us in celebrating the 40th year partnership between UBC and the United Way of the Lower Mainland. Our goal this year is to help 40,000 people in our community. Make sure to visit unitedway.ubc.ca to learn about us, our events, and how to get involved, because together, we are possibility.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all superstars.
Hey folks, the Pride Collective at UBC is an AMS resource group for LGBTQ+ folks. All our events and resources are free, so you should check us out on Facebook or come to Nest 2103 and say hi. We have so many fun events every week.
Yeah.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We just had Stephanie on to talk a little bit about some of her day work and some of the activism work and the women's about the Women's March and International Women's Day yesterday, and just really the feeling. And I guess this show's theme is, you know, it's always about equality and, you know, how can we increase the peace. But over the past few days, we've had, always have some American politician say something crazy. Here's Uncle Ben, Uncle Ben Carson. I'd like to say some other names, but I'm gonna let you listen. Here's what he has to say.
Land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less. But they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-granddaughters might pursue prosperity. That's what
I'm going to run that back for you guys, just in case you guys missed it, because Ben Carson he's the director of HUD, which is the Department of Housing, and which really takes care of like lower socioeconomic class people. And this is what he's talking about: slaves.
That's what America is about. A land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less. But they too had a dream.
Come on, dog. I can't believe this man had the audacity to say slaves came on the bottom as immigrants. And then he quotes Martin Luther King. And he says they too had a dream. Come on, dog. You know, I saw a quote from my favorite sportscaster, Bomani Jones. He said, you know, when you start looking at Ben Carson as a savant, you know, someone who has extraordinary abilities in some areas and lacks basic functionality in other areas, you know, everything starts to make sense. Because growing up, they taught me Ben Carson, he was like Jesus Christ with, you know, walking on earth, separating Siamese twins. They're like, yo, Ben Carson's the best doctor ever. Every time I think about Ben Carson, I just think, God dang, man, he could have lived in Black History Month forever. Like, he took himself out of all of that just by speaking. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And if you don't know what he's referring to slaves that's coming here as immigrants. And so when they talk about the American dream, they always want to paint it as this picture that, you know, people came here, you know, with the idea that, you know, they could have a better life here. And when I think about that, like, I think of, like, holy smokes, bro. How bad was Europe? Like, how awful was Europe that people were like, you know what? I'm going to get on this boat. 3 months, take everything that belongs to me. 3 months, yeah, I could die on the way. I'm talking about actual immigrants right now. You know, I could die on the way. You know, when I get there, I heard that they got these crazy diseases and they got these natives there, and they're always fighting. But you know what? I'm willing to risk it all because Europe has to be that awful. Now, this is one thing I don't understand: is that if Europe was that awful, why do we follow these? Why do we follow what they believed? Anyways, I don't want to get into that. I just want to get into the idea that I don't understand how somebody so smart can continue to say things so stupid, and people continue to defend him, because people have been saying that, you know, his comments were taken out of context. You can listen to the old clip on my Twitter if you go to @spoonie_love. That's @spoonie_love. You can listen to the entire clip. It just doesn't make any sense. like he lives in Washington, D.C. now. There is a African-American History and Cultural Museum that just opened a few months ago. It's really informative. I went. I think it's the newest Smithsonian Museum. You can find out all about it. You can actually go into a reenacted middle passage where it's super tight and cramped, and they show you actual shackles that people had. And for somebody, particularly somebody who should have a better understanding of what history looks like, it's really concerning that we don't have these things, particularly like when Betsy DeVos a few weeks ago, or last week, maybe I talked about it on the show, when she talked about how HBCUs were the original schools using choice, when like totally ignoring the fact that the reason why HBCUs had to be created in the first place is because Black people and people of color weren't allowed in predominantly white institutions and weren't allowed to be educated in that manner. And if you think about it historically, people were killed for reading. That's crazy, you know. So as we continue to see these trends, and we continue to see these public figures and these people who have been put in these ahead of these departments, you know, that we deem so important to the general public, that they just do not have a basic grasp of knowledge, and it's concerning to me. I don't know why people, you know, let this type of stuff go. Like, I don't know how you as, you know, if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, a conservative, anything, anybody, to look at a comment like that and not be, you know, just kind of disgusted. And not disgusted with, disgusted on so many different levels, It just doesn't make any sense. But that's not the most offensive thing that I said this week. If you want to listen to, so we're going to take a listen to Republican Congressman Jason Chavez of Utah. And this is what he has to say about the Affordable Care Act.
Americans doesn't equal coverage.
Well, we're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people said that they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love.
Sometimes I got to play these things back because even I can't believe it. Like, you know, sometimes you have to take a deep breath because you don't, like, these things don't connect. Maybe Americans should think about getting a new iPhone and healthcare and blah, blah, blah. Well, I had an MRI in 2014, and even with my insurance, the MRI and the doctor's visit came out to $1,600. Mind you, they never actually told me what was wrong with my knee. They just took a picture of it. $1,600 later. Now, if you want to do the math, for $1,600, you could buy about 4 or 5 iPhones. You know, talking about iPhones is coded language to shame poor people, and that's the type of stuff that we shouldn't put up with. Like, why do it? Why is it? I was looking for a stat this morning about. Because I know this to be a case. Lots of people, probably more, I'd like to go into the research on this, their iPhone or their smartphone is the only access to a computer that they have in their home. Maybe the only access to internet that they have in their home. Now, as we look at internet, as you know, continue to look at internet as like a basic human right and something that everybody should have access to, we don't like to think about, you know, how are people accessing the internet, because a lot of the times it's through the smartphone. And when you think about what he's exactly saying is that people need to pick between an iPhone and their healthcare, as if it's not essential to have a phone, particularly an iPhone, if you have any job that requires you to respond to emails or anything that's time sensitive, to your healthcare. The math doesn't add up, and it's clear that this is directed towards a certain demographic of people who say, if people didn't spend so much money on clothes or food or their shoes, like maybe you shouldn't be eating salmon. Maybe you should be eating rice and beans every day. And, and as we continue to hear these conversations, I feel personally that this continues to sound less and less and less like the America that I was taught about, and more about the America that I have read about. Now, when we get back, we're going to get back into some fun news, because I like to end it on a light note, because we could sit and talk about the lack of education in America. It leads to things that like immigrants and boats, and immigrants coming over here on slave ships and not slaves, or not actual, they weren't slaves when they came on the boat. They were people with jobs and families and careers, and when they got to America, they were slaves. We need to discuss things like that clearly in our education system, because when we elect officials and they appoint these types of people, or when we elect these types of public officials who represent us, we're doing not only us a disservice, we're doing everyone a disservice, we're doing everyone who comes after us a disservice. So these are the types of things we need to care about.
Sustainable idea? Want to be more involved with environmentalism on campus? Need funding to host a green event? Then reach out to the Student Environment Center for funding, helpers, and advice on how to make your sustainable ideas a reality. Contact us. Do it. Our Facebook page is UBC Student Environment Center. Give it a like. Also, come check out the free store in room 2102 on the second floor of the AMS Student Nest.
Free?
Free.
Free?
Free.
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 That's right. It's a free store.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. That's 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. We just got a little bit talking about why we continue to shame poor people, every day. It really doesn't, for me, it never makes sense to like continually beat up on poor people. Like, yo, people are poor. In some very fascinating news, was 18-year-old, was arrested for, and charged with a felony for stealing soda from McDonald's in Arkansas. I'm going to get a little bit into the story. A Arkansas man, 18-year-old Cody, was arrested and charged with a felony for getting sodas refilled, using water cups. Now, I know that lots of my listeners, might do this types of thing at Chipotle or McDonald's or whatever fast food restaurant that you might frequent, but I think this is a clear warning that they are taking that stuff seriously now, and you need to make sure you got your ducks in a row, get the lemonade, and pretend like you're pressing the water, because it seems that they might get you for the felony. And once you got that felony on your record, and you have to explain that it's because you stole some soda. Matter of fact, that's just ridiculous. That McDonald's manager is taking his job too seriously. I feel like lots of people take their jobs too seriously. You know who else takes it too seriously? According to Complex Magazine, they did a study on which country lies about the size of their Johnson the most, which I thought was pretty funny because, like, who lies about that type of stuff? But anyways, what is actually found out is that Canada and India lead in the way of modesty. So you undersell, overperform here in Canada. Good for you. But Australia and America, heavy, heavy exaggerators. Now, I could have told you that United States could have been on the top. Not because like I have really personal experiences, you know, asking questions and doing research about this. But just people in America exaggerate about everything. It's not a surprise. What we don't exaggerate is on is the amount of conspiracy theories that we have. And this past week, conspiracy theorists were, I don't know what you call it. We were, I would say we, because there's some conspiracy theories that I adhere to, particularly ones that don't affect people, like dogs don't like your hugs. And you can fight me on that if you want, or you can call in and tell me why your dog does like your hugs. Maybe you can send a picture to prove it, only if you make a donation. And so this past week, WikiLeaks revealed and published thousands of documents obtained from the CIA that the United States government has taken advantage of common technology to spy on users of consumer electronics. Year zero is what the document is called, and it consists of 8,761 documents reported from the CIA. Basically, it's that the CIA can tap into your smart TVs, your smartphones, your laptops, and through malware, some viruses. Basically, they can watch you at all times. You really need to be careful what you say. I don't really know if this means that, you know, you could be persecuted on any of this information, but just know that people watch you at all times. So if you're like me and you don't put the tape on your webcam, maybe you should start. Now, if you're a sneakerhead, because some people like that do listen to my show, you'll like to know that Puma has teamed up with Sesame Street for a collaboration, and they have some pretty sweet kicks coming out with Elmo, the Cookie Monster, and my favorite character, the Grouch. Now, my favorite character has changed because, obviously, when you're a little kid, you hate the Grouch. Like, it's perfectly with that Dave Chappelle stand-up. I think it's Killing Them Softly, where he's talking about Sesame Street. If you haven't seen it before, you need to go on YouTube, type in Sesame Street, Dave Chappelle, and check it out. It's probably my favorite stand-up bit of all time, where he's talking about how the Grouch on Sesame Street teaches you to hate poor people. Now, if you want to and label people, he specifically says, he's like, yo, the Grouch is the poorest person on Sesame Street and nobody's helping him. So, Puma's got some nice shoes. You should check them out. You know, there's, to end it, there's a study. I was actually talking about this with my friends the other day, talking about how the weed has been coming, has gotten too strong. Like, I can't do dabs. Dabs are too strong for me. But weed in general has gotten too strong. Like, I'm arguing that they need to take it down a notch. Like, you know, bring back the beasts so we can actually appreciate, you know, what we now call the fire, which is now regular weed. Like, if it doesn't look like fire, then it's not regular. Anyways, bring back the beasts because the weed has gotten too strong. Weed has gotten so strong that a study at George Washington University said that it would actually be stronger if you use weed as a suppository. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like that as we move into 2017, I'm not liking it. 2018, I'm not liking it. I feel like they've taken all the fun out of weed. Like, putting weed in your butt doesn't give you the same feeling as when you're sitting around with your friends or you watch, you know, or if you take a look at pop culture, like that 70s show when they're all on the couch in the basement, or you're sitting around with your friends and you're watching TV or you're listening to music. Yo, you're like, hold on, dog. You know what I'm saying? Let me hit this joint real quick. And then you like put something, you know what I mean? If I feel like weed is getting to be like a hard drug now, and I'm just about to take a large step back and, you know, find something a little milder, you know? Maybe I'll just start burning incense with my friends and just talking. Because the first time somebody comes to me and approaches me, says, yo, dog, you got to try this. You got to put it in your butt. I'm going to be like, no, we're not friends anymore. Clearly, this weed thing has gone too far. And it's over. And it's over. My show's over. Tune in next Thursday to Off the Beaten Path. We do this every Thursday morning from 7 to 8. If you'd like to call in next week or you'd like to listen to the next show, which is the Disability Collective, that comes on at 8:30. Please do that. We're doing the fun drive all week from today until the 17th. I think we culminated with a party. And if you would like to call in, you can call in all day. There will be people here starting at noon. Please donate. It's the only way we can keep the radio going. This is a really cool space. If you've never been to CITR, come down and check it out. Hope to hear from you soon. And tune in next week, as we'll definitely have more things to talk about, and I'll continue to take you down my path. Have a great weekend.